Reading text 13. ಕ್ಷೀರೋದಧಾವ ಅಮರದಾನವಯೂತ ಪಾನಂ ಉನ್ಮತ್ನಾಂ ಅಮೃತ ಲಬ್ಧಯಾದಿದೇವಃ ಪುಷ್ಟೇನ ಕಚ್ಚಪವಪೂ ವಿಕ್ತಧಾರ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರಂ ವಿಕ್ತಧಾರ ಗೋತ್ರಂ ನಿದ್ರಾಕ್ಷಣೋ ಅದ್ರಿ ಪರಿವರ್ತ ಕಷಾಣ ಕಂಡುಃ. ಕ್ಷೀರೋದಧಾವ ಅಮರದಾನವಯೂತ ಪಾನಂ ಉನ್ಮತ್ನಾಂ ತಾಮ ಅಮೃತ ಲಬ್ಧ ಆದಿದೇವಃ ಪುಷ್ಟೇನ ಕಚ್ಚಪವ ಪೂರ್ವಿ ಪ್ರದಾರ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರಂ ನಿದ್ರಾಕ್ಷಣೋ ಅದ್ರಿ ಪರಿವರ್ತ ಕಷಾಣ ಕಂಡುಃ. ಕ್ಷೀರೋದಧಾವ ಅಮರದಾನವಯೂತ ಪಾನಂ ಉನ್ಮತ್ನತಾಂ ಅಮೃತ ಲಬ್ಧಯ ಆದಿದೇವಃ ಪುಷ್ಟೇನ ಕಚ್ಚಪವ ಪೂರ್ವಿದ್ರದಾದ ಗೋತ್ರಂ ನಿದ್ರಾಕ್ಷಣೋ ಅಪ್ಯ ಪರಿವರ್ತ ಕಷಾಣ ಕಂಡುಃ. ಕ್ಷೀರೋದಧಾವ ಅಮರದಾನಯೂತ ಪಾನಂ ಉನ್ಮತ್ನತಾಂ ಅಮೃತ ಲಬ್ಧಯಾದಿದೇವಃ ಪುಷ್ಟೇನ ಕಚ್ಚಪವ ಪುರ್ವಿದಾನ ಗೋತ್ರಂ ನಿದ್ರಾಕ್ಷಣೋತ್ರಿವರ್ತ ಕಷಾಣ ಕಂಡುಃ. ಕ್ಷೀರೋದಧಾವ ಅಮರದಾನಯೂತ ಪಾನಂ ಉನ್ಮತ್ನತಾಂ ಅಮೃತ ಲಬ್ಧಯಾದಿದೇವಃ ಪುಷ್ಟೇನ ಕಚ್ಚಪವ ಪುರ್ವಿದಧಾರ ಗೋತ್ರಂ ನಿದ್ರಾಕ್ಷಣೋ ಪರಿಪರ್ತ ಕಷಾಣ ಕಂಡು.
ಎನಿಬಡಿ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ಮತ್ತ ದಿಸ್
ರೋಗದಾಮಸಮದಾಸ್ತಾನವಯೂತ ಪಾನಂ ಉದ್ಮತ್ನತಾಂ ಅಮೃತ ಲಬ್ಧಯಾದಿದೇವಃ ಪುಷ್ಟೇನ ಕಚ್ಚಪವ ಪೂರ್ವಿದಧಾರ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರಂ ನಿದ್ರಾಕ್ಷಣೋ ಅಗ್ನಿ ಪರಿವರ್ತಕ ಯಾಣ ಕಂಡು. ಕ್ಷೀರೋದಧಾವ ಅಮೃತಾನವಯೂತ ಪಾನಂ ಉನ್ಮತ್ನತಾಂ ಅಮೃತ ಲಬ್ಧಯಾದಿದೇವಃ ಪುಷ್ಟೇನ ಕಚ್ಚಪವ ಪೂರ್ವಿದ್ಯಾರ ಗೋತ್ರಂ ನಿದ್ರಾಕ್ಷಣೋ ಅಗ್ನಿ ಪರಿವರ್ತ ಕಷಾಣ ಕುಂಡು. ಕ್ಷೀರೋದಧಾವ ಅಮರದಾನವಯೂತ ಪಾನಂ ಉನ್ಮತ್ನನಾಂ ಅಮೃತ ಲಬ್ಧಯಾದಿದೇವಃ ಪುಷ್ಟೇನ ಕಚ್ಚಪವ ಪುರ್ವಿದಧಾರ ಗೋತ್ರಂ ನಿದ್ರಾಕ್ಷಣೋ ಅಪಿ ವರಿವರ್ತ ಕಷಾಣ ಕಂಡುಃ.
ವರ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ವರ್ಡ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ಷೀರ
milk, Udadhav, in the ocean of Amar, the demigods, Danava, the demons, Yuthapanam, of the leaders of both hosts, Unmathanam, while churning, Amrita, nectar, Labhaya, for gaining, Adidevaha, the primeval lord, Prishthena, by the backbone, Kachapa, tortoise, Vapuhu, body, Vidadhara, assumed, Gotram, the Mandara hill, Nidrakshanaha, while partly sleeping, Adri Parivrata, rolling the hill, Prashana, scratching, Kanduhu, itching. The primeval lord then assumed tortoise incarnation in order to serve as a resting place, pivot, for the Mandara mountain, which was acting as a churning rod. The demigods and demons were churning the ocean of milk with the Mandara mountain in order to extract nectar. The mountain moved back and forth, scratching the back of Lord Tortoise, who while partially sleeping was experiencing an itching sensation. Purport by Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although it is not in our experience, there is a milk ocean within this universe. Even the modern scientists accept that there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of planets hovering over our heads, and each of them has different kind of climatic conditions. Srimad Bhagavatam gives much information which may not tally with our present experience, but as far as Indian sages are concerned, knowledge is received from the Vedic literatures, and the authorities accept without any hesitation that we should look through the pages of authentic book of knowledge, Shastra Chakshuvat. So we cannot deny the existence of the ocean of milk as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, unless and until we have experimentally seen all the planets hovering in space. Since such an experiment is not possible, naturally we have to accept the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, because it is so accepted by the spiritual leaders like Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others. Leaders like Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti and others. The Vedic process is to follow in the footsteps of great authorities, and that is the only process for knowing that which is beyond our imagination. The primeval lord, being all-powerful, can do whatever he likes, and therefore he is assuming the incarnation of a tortoise or a fish for serving a particular purpose is not at all astonishing. Therefore, we should not have any hesitation whatsoever in accepting the statement of the authentic scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. The gigantic work of churning the milk ocean by the combined effort of the demigods and the demons required gigantic resting ground or pivot for the gigantic Mandara hill. Thus, to help attempt of the demigods, the primeval lord assumed the incarnation of gigantic tortoise swimming in the ocean of milk. At the same time, the mountain scratched his backbone as he was partially sleeping, and thus relieved his itching sensation.
மத்தியானத்தின் ஜானந்த சச்சுருன் தஸ்மே ஸ்ரீ குருவே நம. At the outset, I would like to thank the temple authorities for giving me this opportunity to speak on this wonderful verse. It is the churning of the milk ocean is almost like a scientific experiment. So it is very dear to my heart. I come from such a background. So I'll be mostly focusing on that aspect of this verse. Anyway. So the background is like this, that the demigods had become weak. They were weakened. Why? By Guru Avajna. They had lost the grace of the Guru. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadam, yasya aprasadat na gati kutopi. So the demigods had no gati. They had absolutely no status. They were all residents of heaven. But now it was occupied by Bali Maharaj and his, you know, praja. So therefore, they had no status, they had no place to live. They were in a great fix, they were desperate. So when one is desperate, what does one do? One approaches the Supreme Lord. So the demigods together, they approach the Supreme Lord. And they said that they are in this unfortunate situation where they have been ousted from their homes and they were nowhere to go and they have no honor, no place, nothing. So when this was mentioned to the Supreme Lord, the compassionate as usual, Supreme Lord is always compassionate. He felt great pity for the demigods. After all, they were his devotees. Felt very, very great pity for them. And then he told them that you and Asuras sign a truce, sign a peace treaty. It is less good as asking a snake and mongoose, you know, to sign a peace treaty. They are natural enemies. Here also, the Danavas or the Asuras were enemies of, in some sense, enemies of the demigod. So the Lord said that you sign a peace treaty and together you churn the milk ocean, the expanse of milk ocean, and you try to get amruta. Nectar out of churning of the milk ocean. So you do this, and for this, you know, you can use the Mandar mountain as the churning rod, and you can use Vasuki, the snake, you know, as a rope for churning. So on either side, the demigods can be on one side and the Danavas on the other side, you can just churn the milk ocean. And then when you get amruta, you can drink it and you can become powerful. So this was the instruction which the compassionate Lord gave. Even though the demigods had offended their guru, Brihaspati, it was all because of an offense towards guru. So we always require the prasad of the guru. Without guru prasad, we cannot make any spiritual progress at all. We may think that we can do without Guru's blessing, but no, it is not there. So every day we sing that. So without the Guru's blessing, we are virtually nowhere. We may think that we have made progress, but ultimately there is a fall down because there is no grace of Guru. So one becomes weak when there is no grace of Guru in our life. We become weak. After spending some years in Krishna consciousness, we start thinking that we know everything that is to be known. And we don't need any more, you know, the blessing. But no, every moment of our existence in Krishna consciousness, we need the grace and blessings of our Guru. We need the grace and blessings of Srila Prabhupada. This is very, very important for us to survive in Krishna consciousness. If we think independently and say that we don't need you, Krishna also doesn't need you. So that is the conclusion. So we have to really take shelter of the Guru with all our devotion and heart. So, it's not that the Supreme Lord gave some instructions to the demigods and left them in the lurch. Instruction de diye ho gaya kaam, nahi. The Supreme Lord was with the demigods and with the asuras as well. Every moment of churning of the milk ocean, he proactively helped them.
as we can see. So they were, what was the brief given to them? They were to churn the milk ocean. You can imagine the expanse of milk ocean, how huge it was. And you can also imagine, you know, the sheer grandeur of the Mandar mountain and Vasuki. You cannot imagine how many miles long Vasuki is. So, it was such a thing. But the Lord helped them. If you go through that 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and see and read Samudra Manthan, you know, that chapter, where you get so many wonderful, you know, realizations. In fact, if we very carefully study that chapter, it is quite relatively easy to become Krishna conscious. Because you realize the sheer, you know, compassion of the Supreme Lord towards the demigod as well as the demons whom he had asked to churn the milk ocean. And you realize it's not possible for them alone to do it. For example, the Lord himself helped in, you know, shifting the Mandar mountain and placing it, you know. Then, in this, as we read in this particular verse and chapter, he assumed, he took the avatar of Kurma avatar. He had, the tortoise incarnation took place during, to facilitate Amrita Manthan. So, he realized what are the problems that are going to there. I have given them advice, but not left them in the lurch. He proactively helped them. So, he himself assumed the, you know, the giant body of Kurma, tortoise. So he did in so many other ways, he helped. There are far too many details, I can't go into that, but he helped in every possible way at all stages. So the the great Vaishnava poet Jayadeva Goswami has sung these things. Kshitira iha vipulatare tishtati tava prutte dharani dharana kina chakragarire keshavadrita kurma sharira jay jagadish hare jay jagadish hare jay jagadish hare. So all of you must be certainly aware that Jayadeva Goswami has written Dashavatara Stotra, out of which every day we sing one stotra, that is Narasimha Pranati we sing. So, but there are so many other stotras which glorify the various avataras that the Supreme Lord has assumed for welfare of humanity. So, one such avatar is that of Kurma avatar. So, the translation is this way. O Keshav, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a tortoise, all glories to you. In this incarnation, as divine tortoise, the great Mandar mountain rests upon your gigantic back as a pivot. So, Kurma avatar, Kurma became the pivot for churning the ocean of milk. From holding up the huge mountain, a huge car-like depression is put on your back. This is what Jayadeva Goswami is singing, glorifying the Supreme Lord for taking up this avatar of Kurma avatar. So there are so many glories of Kurma avatar, we won't go into detail. There are so many temples also devoted to Kurma. So we find normally Kurmadeva in many Vaishnava temples, you know, we see them. So it is something which we have to understand and appreciate. Now, you will permit me to speak something about chemistry lab. Once upon a time my bread and butter was chemistry, organic chemistry. So now, if you have ever been to any laboratory, research laboratory, you will see so many equipment, so many glassware, so many things. You will see, you know, measuring cylinders, you will see burettes, you will see pipettes, you will see, you know, droppers, so many things you will see. And you may see, you know, some stirrers for stirring the reactions. in any reaction you require, you have reactants and they need to be stirred, they need to be heated, you will require hot plates, magnetic stirrers, electric stirrers, all these things you will see. And what is the quantity of the reactants in the reaction flask? At the most, 1 kilo. I remember having used 1 kilo of a material for doing a particular, preparing a particular product. That's about maximum. But here we are talking about, you know, cosmic level, you know, reaction vessel. So milk ocean, the expanse of milk ocean is something which we cannot, you know, even imagine. So that is the entire expanse of milk ocean is the reaction vessel, right? And that is the also reacting medial. And that cannot be stirred by magnetic stirrers or electric stirrers or vibrating gadgets. No. What do you require? To stir the massive, you know, ocean, milk ocean, you require massive mountain like the Mandar mountain. Incidentally, when the demigods tried to shift the Mandar mountain, they were crushed under it. So the Lord himself had to, you know, revive them, and he shifted it, arranged to shift it and keep it on his own back as, you know, as Kurma. As Kurma, his back was the pivot on which the Mandar mountain, you know, rested. And there was a Vasuki rope, just as we churn, you know, buttermilk. You churn it. Nowadays, of course, people use mixers, but there was a time, in Gokul, Vrindavan, and you see Yashoda Mai churning, you know, buttermilk. So, all those divine things are no longer there. In the name of modernity, we have lost something very, very precious. So, anyway, so the Mandar mountain was so huge, it was, could not be carried. The devatas and the Danavas were almost crushed under the weight of the Dana. But then the Lord, you know, revived them. The Lord, you know, himself helped them to put it on the Kurmadev's back. And that was the pivot on which the thing, entire thing was placed. And that, and then Vasuki rope was tied. So there was some, we won't go into all the details. If you want interested, please read the 8th canto. But there was some discussion or some arguments between the demigods and the demons. They were supposed to work cooperatively, you know. One side, you know, they will churn, other side they will pull, that way it was supposed to. But there was some discord, because the demigods were holding the mouth side of the serpent, mouth side. And the demons were asked to, they were holding the tail portion. They were pulling from that side, demigods were pulling from this side. So the demons, you know, their prestige was hurt. They said, you are asking us to pull from the tail side? This is not honorable for us. We want to pull from the mouth, head side. So Devata said, okay. They were told to cooperate in all situations. They cooperated. And they were given. But the result was that when they started actually using Vasuki rope and started churning, what happened? First of all, this experiment, cosmic experiment, is wonderful for many reasons. One is that it was such a mammoth scale experiment. Second is that the products that we got from the churning of the milk ocean, both these are very, very fascinating to talk about and read about. So you should read that particular section, at least of Srimad Bhagavatam. Wonderful. It will appeal to your mind, intellect and heart as well. So it will appeal everywhere. So that you should read. So anyway, so they were, the demigods, you know, said, okay, you want to pull from the mouth side? Okay, you take that place, we'll go. So they took that place. And when they started, you know, actually pulling it from both the sides, just as you can imagine, Ratha Yatra, we pull things, you know, that way. Similarly, they started pulling and things. What was the first product that came out of the manthana? Everybody knows the first product that came out of this manthan was halahal vish. It was poison. It was so very, very vitriolic. It was so acidic. A drop falling, it could, burn the earth, that kind of a... So, they were helpless. The poison that was being emitted was good enough to burn the entire earth planet. So, they again approached the Supreme Lord. So that, what do we do now? So, not only he has suggested a solution, but at every stage he was being consulted, being bothered. So, what do we do now? He said that, you approach Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam yatha Shambho. Nimnaganam yatha Ganga. Devatanam yatha Keshavaha. Vaishnavanam yatha Shambho. So, Shambho, you approach him. He's very kind-hearted. So, they approach Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was very benign, very, very kind. He said, okay, I'll take... So, he entire poison, he took it in the palm and he put it in his mouth and he swallowed it, but did not allow it to go to the stomach. He stored it in the throat. What was the consequence? His throat became bluish. Therefore, one of the names of Lord Shiva is Neelakantha or Kalakantha. There is a temple in Pune also, if you have gone. Nasik. There is a temple. So, you can see such temples of Lord Shiva. So, he took the poison. So this was the first product, and which came from the churning of the milk ocean. So normally in chemistry labs or anywhere, even in the industry, you start with a reactant and you want to have one product only, which is useful, which is industrially useful or chemical useful. I would like to tell you that the biggest reaction I set up was with 1 kilo. But after my doctorate, I worked in an industry called Pesticides Limited, where there was a 5 ton per day BHC, benzene hexachloride, that is gamaxine, that every day it was being produced. So when I left university labs and joined Pesticides Limited, I said, my God, 5 ton a day, what a quantity is this? Phenomenal. So I was overwhelmed looking at it. But then, after some time I got used to it. 5 tons seem to be okay, ordinary. So that is how it is. So we get used to anything in life. So got used to. But here we are talking about churning of an expanse of milk ocean. The reaction vessel is something which you can't even, wildest of your imagination you can think of, you can conceive of. That is a milk ocean. So that's what was being stirred and manipulated. So there were number of wonderful personalities and wonderful things that came out of churning of milk ocean. Very elaborately described by Shukdeva Goswami in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Before that, I would like to share something with you, that when I was doing my doctorate, this happened almost 50 years ago, so some of you were not born also. So, I got my doctorate when you were probably not even born. So, anyway, so I was a secretary of an organic chemistry colloquium, and we were handling small reactions. So, somebody said that to get an idea about what happens in the industry, you must organize an industrial visit. So, I took all the students along with me, and we went to Nosil. Everybody has heard of Nosil. It was Arvind Mafatlal project, petrochemical plants and all that. We took the students with us. We organized a bus and we went there. And when we went there, we saw huge, reactors, more than my, 5-ton-a-day BHC plant. There was huge reactors, continuous, reactors, all that. So what was the consequence of that visit? We lost our frog-like mentality. What is the frog-like mentality? We think that whatever situation we are in, that is the best in the world. Like a frog, living in a well. There was another frog that visited. You know the story. So another frog visited this frog, and the frog asked the other frog, Where have you come from? I have come from the adjoining well. How large is the well? As big as my well? No, 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 infinitely larger. This large, the frog, you know, started expanding himself and showing, and then finally burst and died. So, that is frog-like mentality, thinking that the situation in which I am, or we are, that is the best in the world, on the surface of earth. That is frog-like mentality. Narrow mentality. Not accepting the broad spiritual truths, but, you know, accepting whatever we have with us as the best. So this is frog-like mentality, and that visit, industrial visit, helped us to get rid of frog-like mentality. So therefore, we as devotees, we should definitely be completely surrendered to our Guru and to Srila Prabhupada. But we should also look at other faiths and other things with compassion. We should not think that we are the only spiritual entities on the surface of earth. There are so many others as well. So we should have that compassion, that broad-mindedness. Ayam nijaha paro vyakti ganana lagu chetasa udara charitanam tu vasudeva kutumbakam. That attitude is what is required in Krishna consciousness. So we should be broad-minded. And that is what Srila Prabhupada taught us and gave us. So anyway, this is aside. I just wanted to highlight that. So compared to what was obtained from milk, churning of the milk ocean, the accomplishments that we have in the material world, they are absolutely insignificant, not worth thinking. So the laboratory created by Krishna, you can call it cosmic lab, with milk ocean as a reaction vessel, Mandar mountain, you know, as a rod stirring, Vasuki, you know, snake as a rope for churning. The sheer scale of it we cannot imagine. It was so great. That was great. So what all things came from the churning of milk ocean? I would like to talk about it before I end my lecture. So just reading the, I have made a point here, just reading the description of Samudra Manthan in the right consciousness, in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, will make us Krishna conscious. Because we will realize the greatness of the Supreme Lord in so many ways. So many ways. So to summarize what I have told you so far, the expanse of milk ocean is the reaction vessel. Huge Mandar mountain is the stirrer or churning rod. Vasuki is the rope. Kurumadev, Lord's back, is the resting place or the pivot for the rod to move. And the demigod and asuras are the chemists who are, you know, doing this experiment, of cosmic experiment they are doing. They are the chemists. So that is in Greek. So what were the various products that emerged from churning? This requires a long time to discuss. So I have tried to summarize it briefly. So Samudra Manthan, first of all, as I said, produced, you know, halahal poison, which Lord Shiva drank or put it in his throat and solved the crisis that would have emerged if the poison had been spilt on Mother Earth. Then what came out? It is said that the poison which Lord Shiva drank, a few drops fell here and there. They were consumed by serpents. So that's why serpents, you know, are vicious. Scorpions are also poisonous. That they imbibed a trace of that poison, and that's how, you know, they became poisonous. So we are always worried about scorpions and snakes. So poisonous snakes are they inherited that poisonous streak from those times. Okay. Then the next thing, that next important personality that was to come was the Kamadhenu cow. Kamadhenu, you know, emerged from this churning of milk ocean. And Kamadhenu was kept by the rishis. There are so many stories in Bhagavatam where, in which, you know, Vasishtha Muni had a Kamadhenu cow. So many things we read. They kept the Kamadhenu. Why? Not because they were interested in possessing Kamadhenu. The Rishi Munis were very much renounced. They had the Kamadhenu cow to empower them to, you know, to do yajnas in which they would use the milk which the Kamadhenu cow gave. There are so many other wonderful stories in Srimad Bhagavatam about this. Thereafter came Uchchaisrava. That's a brilliant horse that emerged. Uchchaisrava. This was produced and this was kept by Bali Maharaj, who was then the Indra, ruling Indra. As I mentioned in the beginning, other original devatas had been displaced. Okay. After that came Airavat. Airavat, that was kept by Indra. So Indra rides Airavat. Then came Kalpa Vruksha. So, and out of the same churning came Rambha, Apsara. So the churning produced not only, you know, poison and other things, but they also produce, you know, Apsaras. So Apsara, Rambha. Then out of the churning of the milk ocean emerged a very great personality. That was none other than Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi came out of the churning of the ocean. So we worship Mahalakshmi as also the daughter of ocean. So we worship her. Many times you may have seen some photographs, Mahalakshmi standing on a lotus, she is in the ocean. That is the source. All information comes from Srimad Bhagavatam. We are all copycats, we photograph, we sell, we make money on that such things. Anyway, so Mahalakshmi emerged from the working, and Lord Vishnu made her his consort. Okay. Then Varuni came in the form of a kanya, and Varuni was kept by the asuras. They wanted Varuni, you know, to drink Varuni. Then emerged Chandrama, moon. Moon is considered as one of these sons of the ocean. Then Parijata tree. Then conch shells, beautiful conch shells. And eventually, Lord Dhanvantari emerged. Dhanvantari, he came with a pot of nectar, which was the reason why this Amrut, it's called Amrut Manthan. This is the reason why the Manthan was done in the first place. So Dhanvantari came with that. He came, he was holding it. You might have seen his pictures. Now, what happened to the Amrut that was there in that pot? The asuras immediately confiscated it. Immediately they confiscated it, and there it is. So the devatas became very gloomy because they were not aggressive. The danavas were aggressive. They confiscated it. So for them, you know, the end is that they have achieved the required material. But the demigods, they were already, you know, in depression before this manthan started. Now they were even more depressed. But the Supreme Lord could not see his devotees in gloom. He did not want to see them, you know, unhappy or miserable. They had worked hard. Both sides had worked hard to get Amrut. But the demons had appropriated that. So what happened was that because of this act, the depressed, the Lord, you know, assumed the form of Mohini Murti. The Mohini avatar of the Lord took place. The Lord Vishnu became Mohini. And Mohini was, as the name suggests, she was, you know, creating, you know, such feelings of, you know, turbulent minds in the
minds of the asuras and the demigods. Everybody became, you know, completely enraptured by her beauty, extraordinary beauty of Mohini. So the demigods, you know, they looked at Mohini and every one of them wanted to, you know, marry her and possess her. Demigods also saw her, they were impressed. But the Lord Mohini, you know, she enchanted the asuras in such a wonderful way that the asuras wanted her to be with them at any cost. So they told them, see, there is some discussion going on about distribution of Amrita. It is there with us. So I think, they said that, we think that you are the best authority to distribute the Amrita. So, they said that you please take charge of this entire flask, entire urn, you know, which contains Amrita, and you please distribute it to all of us. Now, they wanted to impress her that, you know, we are parting with something most precious for which this entire, you know, experiment was done. So, they wanted to impress. But Mohini, she did not immediately accept that assignment. She said, no, don't give to me. You hardly know me. I've just appeared. You hardly know me. Don't trust me with this. She said, no, we trust you very much. She wanted to impress her. So though, you know, the Lord himself told them not to trust, they went out of the way and trusted her. And they said, no, you keep this urn. And then Mohini, Lord Vishnu, did the most wonderful thing. In a very wonderful way, she managed to keep the demons, you know, happy. And at the same time, very, very slyly, she distributed the Amrita to all the demigods, one by one. So the demigods got the, you know, this was the compassion of the Supreme Lord, assuming the Mohini Murti. There are other many episodes related to Mohini Murti, which we won't go into. But if you are interested, Srimad Bhagavatam, you can read and you will get all the information that you want. Many, many episodes, like regarding Lord Shiva also getting attracted to Mohini, and so many other stories are there, we won't go into it. The point is that Mohini, the Supreme Lord, you know, as Mohini, she managed to keep the demons at bay as well as, you know, gave the nectar to the demigods, which was the purpose of Amrit Manthan. So that's how the story unfolds. So in this way, by assuming the form of a tortoise or Kurma Dev, Lord Vishnu, you know, helped the demigods, and they became very powerful as a result of drinking milk. Later on, they were able to retrieve their position, the Swargaloka. Indra once again became... There are so many other episodes which we won't go into. But the point is that this Amrita Manthana is a beautiful cosmic level, as a chemist I would call it, cosmic level experiment, which was performed by the Lord himself. So Srila Prabhupada was also a chemist. He had a chemical laboratory. So the connection is, you know, very intimate. He has written gloriously about, you know, this Amrit Manthan. So it's wonderful. This episode is very wonderful. So I have shared whatever I wanted to. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Purvini.